This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity for all businesses to reach their full potential. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the MEDC is helping Michigan thrive.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Campus chaos continues. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Nicole Murray, on this Thursday, April 25th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
All eyes on Columbia University in New York to see if pro-Palestinian protesters clear the campus by tonight's deadline.
Former Trump advisors Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows are among those indicted in Arizona for election conspiracy.
The Supreme Court is considering whether emergency abortions can take place in states where the procedure is banned.
And on a lighter note, farmers using Axe deodorant on rams' butting heads.
These deodorants are so strong that they mask the scent that the ram sort of smells on the other one that, you know, gets their testosterone going and says, ooh, this is an enemy, this is someone I need to fight. And instead it makes them think, well, this guy smells the same as me, and so they just get along.
Sabra Chowdhury at the Wall Street Journal on body spray for rowdy rams. Tensions remain on college campuses across the country as pro-Palestinian demonstrations grow. At Columbia University, the protests began in response to school president Manoush Shafiq's congressional testimony last week over whether the school has done enough to protect Jewish students. House Speaker Mike Johnson visited the New York City campus yesterday to call for Shafiq to resign.
Columbia's administrators have chosen to let the threats, the fear, and the intimidation of the mob rule, to overtake American principles like free speech and the free exchange of ideas and the free exercise of religion.
Meanwhile, students at other schools, including Brown University, Emerson College, Harvard, the University of Southern California, and the University of Texas, are holding protests and establishing encampments. Emerson's president says the school has received credible reports that some protesters are engaging in targeted harassment and intimidation of Jewish supporters of Israel and students, staff, faculty, and neighbors. Several people, once part of the Donald Trump inner circle, have been indicted in Arizona for their alleged efforts to overturn Trump's 2020 election loss in that state. Among the familiar names, advisors like former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani and former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, a Democrat, says a state grand jury approved criminal charges against 11 Republicans who submitted a document to Congress falsely declaring that Trump won.
We're here because justice demands an answer to the efforts that the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators allegedly took to undermine the will of Arizona's voters during the 2020 presidential election.
The 11 people who had been nominated to be Arizona's Republican electors met in Phoenix weeks after the election to sign a certificate saying they were the state's duly elected and qualified electors. Those 11 have now been charged with crimes in Arizona, including fraud, forgery, and conspiracy. A divided Supreme Court is considering a case in which the health of women suffering medical emergencies during pregnancy is matched against an Idaho law that bans abortion. The justices seemed skeptical yesterday that federal law can require hospitals to provide emergency abortion care in states with strict bans on the procedure. During 2 hours of oral arguments, The Washington Post says only the court's three liberal justices strongly backed the Biden administration's view that a 40-year-old emergency care law preempts Idaho's strict ban that imposes penalties of up to 5 years in prison on doctors who perform the procedure except to save the mother's life. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador.
Because of Dobbs, states once again have the freedom to protect life. But the Biden administration sued Idaho in an attempt to undermine our rights and our state's choice to preserve life.
Conservative justices, who make up the majority of the court, suggested the federal government cannot force private hospitals that receive federal funds to violate a state's law. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. That's Dell.com/welcome to now. Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Thursday. As former President Trump's New York hush money trial continues, he and President Biden are grappling over how to deal with an enthusiasm gap, especially among independent voters for their 2024 runs before November. Here's Naomi Lim, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. Naomi, explain the enthusiasm problem.
So I think what we're seeing, obviously, these trials that the former president is going to participate this year, potentially next year, potentially years after that, I think there's a general understanding that that will help his base, his most ardent supporters that are with him no matter what, that sort of really rally around him as somebody that's being, you know, persecuted and prosecuted by what he says is Joe Biden, President Joe Biden's administration. President Joe Biden, on the other hand, could potentially, this is a little bit more fuzzy, could potentially be helped by these trials because it kind of paints this contrast that he really needs before the election to make sure that this is sort of a referendum on the pair of them as opposed to just on his administration and the 4 years that he's had in office. What I'm sort of curious about is whether, you know, we have an electorate that is quite tired and exhausted of, you know, the rigmarole of the Trump administration, and now sort of with a current administration that's sort of struggling with some parts of the economy after the pandemic, and whether this sort of exhausts, you know, the electorate and voters that are not are very enthused about the prospect of this rematch between Trump and between Biden.
Yeah. All right. So do we know how voters feel about the trial in terms of their interest in it?
Well, there's a lot of like sort of mixed polling out there about whether, you know, people will change their mind in terms of a conviction, because as we've gone through this process, we've asked voters questions about whether, you know, an investigation will change their mind about Trump, whether convictions will, or whether indictments will change their mind about Trump. And now we're sort of at that prospect of a conviction. What I thought was really interesting is, regardless of how people vote, depending on the outcome of these trials, just the fact that a lot of independents, particularly independent women, according to a recent Suffolk University in USA Today poll, you know, suggests that they're not going to tune in at all, which sort of, you know, sort of really leans into what we were discussing earlier about this idea of just a very exhausted voting population out there.
We're speaking with Naomi Lim, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. The story is called Trump and Biden Seek an Edge Among Independents as Trump's New York Trial Starts. How's the White House and or the Biden reelection campaign going to use this in terms of what's going on with Trump's trial?
It's actually been really interesting because at the very start, they were very tentative about weighing in. You know, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre would sort of say, you know, look, we know that this is an investigation, particularly the federal ones. They've been very mindful not to comment on it. And there was, in fact, sort of memos circulated among Democrats and talking points in terms of trying to really distance themselves and not celebrate, you know, politically celebrate these indictments. But what we're seeing is sort of, you know, a little bit more pointed rhetoric coming out, or more sort of niggly rhetoric coming out of the campaign. For example, one of their spokesmen sort of made fun of some reports that we're seeing. Obviously, cameras are not allowed in the room, but reporters are, and there was sort of anecdotes of Trump falling asleep, and we saw the Biden campaign really latch onto that, particularly because they're trying to counter attacks about Trump's age. And so you're sort of seeing a slow creep towards being more aggressive on it, and I wonder whether, as the election gears up and, you know, push comes to shove, whether they'll get even more aggressive on it.
Finish up, if you would, with the comments from an analyst in your story who talked about other politicians would be in trouble here, but not necessarily Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that we've seen since the Access Hollywood tapes, which is sort of coming a reemergence just given the nitty-gritty of this New York trial. And I think, you know, we talk about Teflon Don and how these things don't stick. And, you know, while he may be convicted, you know, politically speaking, there may not be repercussions for him, or in fact, he might benefit from it.
Thanks, Naomi. Naomi Lim, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Political leaders are calling for Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq to step down as pro-Palestinian protests continue at its New York City campus and have spread across the country. House Speaker Mike Johnson visited the campus.
I am here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
Dozens of arrests have been made at the University of Southern California and the University of Texas.
Number two.
An Arizona grand jury has indicted 11 Republicans and 7 of Donald Trump's former top aides on election conspiracy charges. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays.
The scheme, had it succeeded, would have deprived Arizona's voters of their right to have their votes counted for their chosen president. It effectively would have made their right to vote meaningless.
Among those indicted are Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows.
Number three.
Arizona's state house has voted to repeal the 160-year-old law that bans nearly all abortions. Arizona House Speaker Ben Thoma, who voted against it.
Democrats apparently believe that abortions should occur with no limits and no regulations. I fervently disagree with those who advocate for extremism through unlimited, unrestricted, and unregulated abortions.
The state Senate will vote on the measure next week. The Agriculture Department has ordered the dairy industry to test milk-producing cows for the bird flu before they're moved between states. This comes after the FDA said it has discovered fragments of the avian influenza in various samples of milk. However, the agency said it currently poses no risk to human health because pasteurization is likely to inactivate the virus. Tastes like chicken? Those pesky cicadas are out in several states across the country, but did you know they are edible? According to Arcadia Venture, the creepy crawlers taste like shrimp or lobster. A little tip, eat them early when they are most tender.
Tender like juicy? Like they sort of like explode in your mouth?
I mean,
that
I guess so. I currently cannot say I've ever tried the creepy crawlers. Mm. Gotta wonder, like, if you fry them, like, is there a nice crunch? Would you do it?
Surely. Oh, for sure.
Really?
NFL Sunday snack? Oh, yeah. Let me introduce the sports fans to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. On Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Here come the NBA and NHL playoffs, plus MLS soccer is underway, right? So maybe on a single entry, you choose LeBron James for more than 23 points, Connor McDavid for less than 3 assists, and Lionel Messi for more than 1 goal. You can now win up to 100 times your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. Download the app today and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code DEAL on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Thanks for being with us. A deodorant that's popular among young men is apparently also useful for farm animals, but in a different way. It's a story by Sabara Chowdhury, reporter at the Wall Street Journal based in London. Sabara, what have you found?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I found a shepherdess called Sam Bryce, who lives in England, and she is part of a Facebook group called Ladies Who Lamb, which is essentially a support group for shepherdesses in the UK who, you know, they trade tips, they ask for advice. And so Sam posted on this Facebook group a couple of years ago saying, hey, I have this ram. He's very aggressive. He's picking on anybody I put in the field with him. Can you guys help? And the replies that came back sort of repeatedly, people were saying, try Lynx Africa. And Lynx, by the way, is just the UK name for Axe. So there's a few countries in which it's called Lynx. The rest of the world, it's called Axe. And this is for trademark reasons. And so they said, try this specific variant, which is called call Lynx Africa or Axe Africa. And so Sam was kind of skeptical, and she said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So she bought a couple of cans, went back, sprayed the aggressive ram, whose name was Cloud, and has since passed, and sprayed the field mate he was picking on. And lo and behold, the pair were suddenly friends, and Cloud stopped picking on the other ram. And the theory behind why this is that these deodorants are so strong that they mask the scent, that the ram sort of smells on the other one, that, you know, gets their testosterone going and says, ooh, this is an enemy, this is someone I need to fight. And instead it makes them think, well, this guy smells the same as me, and so they just get along. And so she does this every time they have any separation. If they go to the vets and they're separate for a bit and they come back, she'll spray them. And significantly, when they go out during mating season and they're in the field with the ewes, and they come back, and she said that's when she really needs it, because their hormone levels are, you know, still quite high. They can smell the testosterone on each other.
Wow.
And so she sprays it, and apparently they just totally chill out.
That's unbelievable. We're speaking with Sabra Chowdhury, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Axe Body Spray Finds an Unlikely New Customer, Grouchy Sheep. So it's not just to calm down the teenage boys here. It's like there's like a nurturing side to this also, seemingly. You spoke to this Caitlin Jenkins, another farmer.
Yes. So apart from the rams, it's even more commonly used when ewes, so the mom sheep, will give birth sometimes, and either they just don't take to their own lambs, or there will be an orphan lamb whose mother has passed away and needs to be nursed by somebody else. And so the trick there is you can do all sorts of things, like, you know, skinning a dead lamb and moving that skin to this new orphan lamb, but it's all very messy and not very nice. And so the way to do it, they've discovered, is just to take Lynx or Axe, spray the mother sheep's nose, spray the lamb, and she thinks, oh, we smell the same, this must be my lamb. And so she sort of takes that lamb on and feeds her lamb as her own. And so that has been tried and tested a couple of different farms. So Caitlin Jenkins, a shepherdess in the UK, told me about that. And Toby Williams, a sheep farmer all the way in New Zealand, told me that he does the same thing. And he's used Old Spice and Brute and sort of other brands that have all worked. But Sam Bryce, who is the ram shepherdess in the UK, she says Lynx Africa is the one you need to use when you're dealing with rams, because that is the strongest smelling one.
Thanks, Sabra. Sabra Chowdhury, reporter at the Wall Street Journal in London. As a business owner, you have necessary expenses, but some quick math might reveal that you're spending on items that are narrowing your profit margin. Get a smarter business plan with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. You have access to accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all in one platform. With NetSuite, everything can be accessed in the cloud from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how your company can benefit from NetSuite. Visit netsuite.com/Gordon. NetSuite has proven ways to cut costs and boost performance. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Gordon. That's NetSuite.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, April 25. Gordon Deal with Nicole Murray. Some of our top stories and headlines: several former Trump advisors indicted on election conspiracy charges in Arizona. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations close the campus at the University of Southern California. Supreme Court will hear Trump immunity arguments today. A new Labor Department rule means more salaried workers can get overtime. Consulting firm McKinsey being investigated for its opioid work. American women having babies at the lowest rate on record. The NFL draft is tonight. And the Hero Barbers in East Hartford, Connecticut. Their story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Dell Technologies and Intel are pushing what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. As you may have heard, a new version of a TikTok ban just passed the House, bundled with a foreign aid bill. TikTok Shuzi Chu is CEO.
Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice.
Katie Natopoulos, senior tech and business correspondent at Business Insider, says TikTok having to sell to a U.S. buyer or shut down would be a win for Instagram and YouTube. Katie, explain.
What it really is a divest or ban, meaning that ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, now has 1 year or 9 months to either sell to a U.S. buyer or stop having the app be available in the U.S. The reality here, just as a caveat, is that the app is not going away anytime soon. It's not going to disappear off your phone. They have about at least a year, but realistically, this is probably going to be tied up in the courts for quite some time. Mm. TikTok has already said that it does plan to fight this on a legal front. And I think that will probably take quite a while. So this bill did just pass. It got bundled with a bunch of foreign aid package stuff, which made it a lot more attractive to sort of get it through in a bipartisan way. So as of now, we have this interesting situation. And obviously, TikTok is a big competitor to Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if it goes away, or if the app becomes significantly worse because a U.S. buyer may not do as good a job as ByteDance has been doing running it, you know, there's some upside, obviously, for Facebook and YouTube.
Has Mark Zuckerberg been publicly cheering for this?
No. In fact, I believe that he, a while ago, had actually sort of said that he didn't think that this would be necessarily a good idea. I think in some speech he had made at Georgetown, maybe I want to say like a year or two ago. And there's kind of like a big caveat here. So obviously it's a good thing for especially Instagram and its Reels product, which is, you know, basically a clone of TikTok. They stand to absorb a huge amount of the market, right? Like, that's a good thing for Meta. I saw a statistic from some analysts that Meta could draw up to 60% of TikTok's American ad revenue.
Goodness.
That would be very nice for Meta. So, like, big, you know, short-term gains here, right? There is a flip side, which is that this is some really significant government regulation on a social media app. And I think that it's very likely that Mark Zuckerberg and also Google and other big tech executives may be looking at this a little bit like, yikes. It's not all winning, right?
See what you mean. We're speaking with Katie Natopoulos, senior correspondent at Business Insider. Her piece is called "A TikTok Ban Would Be a Win for Mark Zuckerberg." What does it mean for creators?
That's a great question. I kind of think that it depends on the creator, obviously. Some people are really happy on TikTok and they don't like YouTube Shorts. They don't like Reels. And I understand that. And a lot of creators are unhappy about that or the idea that their livelihood may go away. But I also think that it's probably pretty easy to transition to post on another platform. In fact, a lot of big creators already are cross-posting a lot of their content onto Reels, onto Shorts, you know, onto other places already. So I can imagine that it won't be great for creators, but they'll have somewhere else to post. I do think that there is one aspect that is going to be a big bummer, which is TikTok has really pushed its shop. It launched in about September. And if you are a TikTok user, you probably have noticed that it seems like you're constantly getting videos that are these shopping posts where people, creators can either get sort of like an affiliate, a little cut of a sale for a different product that they're endorsing, or they can sell it directly. And I know that actually a lot of like small businesses have had a lot of success on this. I remember talking to someone who runs a Pokemon card shop, and he was like, I love TikTok. You know, yes. He's running a very tiny business. he's like, it's great. Like, I get way more customers through my TikTok shop than I do through my website or other places. And so for those people who are really enjoying selling on the TikTok shop, this will obviously impact their business. There is an asterisk there too, which is part of the reason that the TikTok shop was working so well, was that TikTok was subsidizing huge discounts on there.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Notopoulos, senior tech and business correspondent at Business Insider.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. So today is Take Your Kid to Work Day. So Mike has brought his young son, Ryan, in here. So Ryan is sitting with us. How old are you?
12.
12. All right, so he's 12, and he's sitting in the studio with us this morning as Mike is about to deliver the mic drop, and immediately made fun of Mike, made fun of his dad for the way he delivers the mic drop at times. Let me hear that, Ryan. Let me hear what dad sounds like on the radio.
Well, Gordon.
That's supposed to be my radio voice, I think, is what he's trying to impersonate.
At home, he talks like this, but then on the radio, he goes,
All right. So here's this morning's Mike Gavin with the mic drop. Let's see if the impersonation matches.
Hey, Gordon. Good morning. In most cities, residents cheer when officials come in and clean up a local rat hole. But in Chicago, some tears may be shed. A Chicago sidewalk landmark, some residents affectionately called the rat hole, has been removed after city officials determined the section bearing the imprint of an animal was damaged and needed to be replaced. The AP says the imprint has been a quirk of a residential block in Chicago's North Side neighborhood of Roscoe Village for years, but it found fresh fame in January after a Chicago comedian shared a photo of it on social media. The attention, however, quickly grew old for neighbors who complained about visitors at all hours, sometimes leaving coins and other items scattered across the sidewalk. Plus, many in the neighborhood argue that the imprint was actually caused by a squirrel. A spokesperson for the Chicago Department of Transportation said the square of sidewalk containing the famous Chicago rat hole is now in temporary storage, where it will eventually end up. Where it will eventually end up will be a collaborative decision between the city departments and the mayor's office.
Oh, that's a big deal. It's a collaborative decision. Wow.
How many city officials does it take to figure out what to do with a rat-shaped hole in a sidewalk?
Right. What about people who order food, Mike, they're naked?
Well, Gordon, the food delivery drivers exposed to all kinds of things while bringing meals to people, but naked human bodies aren't supposed to be one of them. A female DoorDash driver claims she was penalized by the food delivery company for refusing to drop off an order to a male nudist. The woman took to Reddit to rage over the incident, which she said happened this past weekend. She says she accepted a delivery, but while she was waiting for the food, she got a message from the man who warned her that he's a nudist and he would be answering the door naked. Not wanting to deal with that, the driver said she canceled the delivery but was shocked when DoorDash support told her that she would not be able to cancel the order without being penalized for not completing the delivery. Hundreds of Reddit users responded to the post, with an overwhelming majority agreeing that the man was likely a creep if he's insisting on answering the door sans clothes, and that DoorDash penalizing her was out of bounds.
Yeah, agree on both fronts. Come on, man.
Yeah, I would say so.
What if it was a man delivering to the female nudist?
Right.
Be right there.
Unfortunately, probably the case, yes.
Hey, it's Gordon Deal. And if you're tired of having the same thing over and over again every meal, do what I did and try Factor. Factor brings you chef-crafted gourmet meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from over 35 weekly menu options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Factor's ready-to-eat meals mean no prep and no mess, using the most premium ingredients like truffle butter and filet mignon. Customize your plans to fit your life. Pause or adjust deliveries anytime. And for April, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long. Just look for the badge to find your favorite low-carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code DEAL50 at factormeals.com/deal50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50. Thanks for joining us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. Even with lingering inflation, relatively high interest rates, and several years of off and on supply chain issues, there are some tremendous values to be found in the used car market, especially How about this? On a $20,000 budget, Kelley Blue Book published a list for MarketWatch. Number one, the 2019 Honda Accord. Number two, the 2020 Toyota Camry. Third on the list of used cars for a $20,000 budget, the 2019 Toyota Prius. Number four, the 2021 Honda Civic. Also on the list, the 2021 Mazda 3 and the 2021 Chevy Bolt EV. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Supreme Court appears sharply divided over whether federal law should allow doctors to perform emergency abortions in states with near total bans. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador.
All 50 states allow doctors to save the life of a pregnant mother if she's in danger. But if the Biden administration gets its way, it would override the life-affirming laws of more than 20 states.
Number two.
President Biden has signed the $95 billion foreign aid package into law, which includes assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, along with a measure that could lead to a potential TikTok ban in the U.S.
Gives vital support to America's partners so they can defend themselves against threats to their sovereignty and to the lives and freedom of their citizens. And it's an investment in our own security.
TikTok CEO Shou Chu says he will fight the ban and is prepared to head to court.
Number three.
A fourth temporary channel will open today at the Port of Baltimore so stranded larger ships can leave. The channel will close this Monday or Tuesday, depending on the weather. After its closure, the channel will not reopen again until May. The Biden administration has unveiled new rules that will require airlines to automatically issue cash refunds to passengers for canceled or delayed flights. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Our consumer protection team has had to impose multi-million dollar penalties on airlines just to get them to do what should already be required.
Refunds will be required for domestic flights pushed back by at least 3 hours and international by six. Luke, milk is good for your bones. Dairy brands are getting ready to celebrate National Star Wars Day by offering blue milk. The jugs will feature labels with the characters Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. May the Fourth be with you.
Blue milk.
Give me the famous line, the Luke.
Come on. I'm not a Star Wars fan.
Oh, come on. In your voice, it would sound so good.
No, won't do it. Won't do it because I don't support it.
Okay, well, may the Fourth not be with you.
Fine.
Then.
Fine. Okay, fine. Be that way.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. That's Dell.com/welcome to now.
Thanks for joining us. Two barbers in East Hartford, Connecticut are being hailed as heroes after they ran to save a young child who was walking on a street toward traffic on a busy intersection. According to local police, barbers Osvaldo Lugo and Rafael Santana of Look Sharp Barbershop were cutting hair when they noticed the child and ran to the toddler's aid. The East Hartford Police Department wrote on Facebook, "We want to give a massive shout out to the quick thinking and brave duo, Osvaldo Lugo and Rafael Santana. Their swift action saved a little toddler who had escaped from his mother and started moving toward traffic on Main Street." Lugo shared security camera footage of the incident in an Instagram reel. In the caption, he wrote that he was still a little shaken up. Lugo later told ABC New Haven affiliate WTNH he managed to pick up the child before anything happened, and said he was able to track down the child's mother, who had not realized the kid had wandered away at a nearby bus stop. He says the mom lost track for a second, and he said it happens to every parent. That'll do it for this hour. For Nicole Murray and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.